Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the beginning of our second week of airing a live teaching that I did in Phoenix, Arizona at our Gospel Truth seminar there, and I'm talking about taking the limits off God, or the title I've given this is Don't Limit God Times 10. It's been 10 years since the Lord told me I was limiting Him, and I tell you, it has revolutionized my life. So this was a five teaching session that I did over five different sessions. We've already covered the first two. The first one was just talking about how we can limit God. God doesn't just sovereignly make things come to pass. The second teaching that we covered last week was talking about how that our lifestyle limits God, because we just get so occupied and busy that we don't dream and we don't let God speak to us. And on this one, what I'm going to begin to start talking about are specifics that were used, things that were going on in my life that limited God, and we're going to start talking about fear. Fear of change, fear of success, fear of the unknown. You just get complacent, and we get to where we just want to stay where we are. But I tell you, this has changed my life. I believe it will challenge you. So we're going to go back into that seminar from our Gospel Truth Seminar in Phoenix, Arizona on Don't Limit God Times 10.
For those of you who were not here, real quick review. I started sharing last night from Psalm 78:41 about how the Israelites limited God, because in their hearts they had doubt and they refused to do what God told them to do. And so God's perfect plan for their life did not come to pass. Fate does not just make your life work a certain way. God does not control what's in your life. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, He has a plan for you that's thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end, but you have to cooperate with Him. And the sad fact is most of us are limiting God. God spoke this to me January the 31st, 2002. And it was a revelation from God. And since then, our ministry and personal lives have just completely transformed. And I don't believe that I'm an exception or special because I'm in the ministry. I think God will do it for any person. Every one of you, God has more for you than what you're experiencing, but we limit Him. So last night I was focusing on that one of the ways we limit Him is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, says that we compare ourselves among ourselves and measure ourselves by ourselves, and that's not wise. So one of the ways that we limit God is because we don't go to the Word and let God inspire us and motivate us for His best. We look around and we see that everybody's struggling. Everybody's in recession. So we expect to have a recession instead of operating under the Scripture that says that God will supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, not the U.S. economy. But people don't let the Word dominate them. They compare themselves and say, well, everybody's struggling. So they limit God. My personal testimony, and there's many people in this room tonight who have stood and believed God, and you have prospered more than you've ever prospered during a time of recession. You do not have to suffer like that, but most people limit God to what everybody else is receiving. They limit God in the area of healing. Everybody starts getting older and you start having pains, and we embrace it. And I use Deuteronomy, where Moses was 120 years old and his eyesight wasn't dim or his natural force abated. You do not have to get old. Well, let me rephrase that. You do have to get old if you keep living here, but you don't have to get decrepit. You don't have to have all of these pains and problems. You are going to keep getting older. If you aren't getting any older, bye-bye. But you don't have to get weak and sick and decrepit and stuff like that. But see, we limit what God can do because we say, well, this is what's always happened in my family. There's this problem that runs in my genes. Those things limit God. And so last night I was really focusing on that we limit God by just comparing ourselves with other people. We listen to the same junk that the world listened to, and then we want different results. It doesn't work that way. And this morning I was talking about that another thing that limits God is our lifestyle. Mark chapter 4 verse 19 gives a teaching on the parable of the sower sowing the seed, and it says that the word is sown, but the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, and it chokes the word. And one reason that we limit God and don't experience God's best in our life is because our lifestyle is not conducive to it. God speaks in a still, small voice. You know, Charlie and Jill sang that song tonight, Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. And you've got to be still. God speaks in a still, small voice. 2 Kings chapter 19, Elijah had an earthquake and had a fire and had a mighty wind that was so strong it broke the rocks and these dramatic, spectacular things. But God wasn't in any of those things. God spoke in just a still, small voice. That is the number one way He speaks to us. And if your life is so busy that you're multitasking and you're doing multiple things, people nearly brag about that today. That is a recipe for a hardened heart. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 3, this one thing I do. If you want to be a success, if you want to excel, do one thing. You multitask, and that means you'll do multiple things poorly. That usually goes over about like that. There's many of you that are really proud about how you can squeeze so much in, but that you cannot find that in the Word of God. You will find that the Lord talks about, be still. Jesus separated His disciples, said, come apart, rest a while. Jesus, he went over into the desert to rest, and the crowds followed Him around the lake, and they wouldn't let Him rest. So you know what He did? He stayed up all night long praying. Having His batteries, spiritual batteries, recharged, being in communion with His Father was more important to Him than sleep. He separated Himself. He prayed all night long. And I guarantee you, if you think that you're better than Jesus, you got a problem. If Jesus needed to get separate, if Jesus needed to come apart and rest a while and told His disciples to rest a while, you need to do it. And this is considered inactivity. And you aren't really motivated, but you need a lifestyle to where you are sensitive and listening to God. And we talked about all that, how that the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things choke the word. And I could spend a lot more time talking about that. Tonight what I want to do, I'm going to start talking about how fear limits God. And there's lots of different fears. I'm going to start this tonight and I'll continue it tomorrow. And my plans are, if I can talk fast, I could spend probably a week teaching on different fears. This is one of the things that was when God spoke to me that I was limiting God because of fear. And it wasn't because I was a bad person. It wasn't because I wasn't seeking God. But you know what? You can let fear come in. It's just, I think, normal. It's natural for a fallen human being to have fear about certain things. But you can overcome it. Perfect love cast out fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. You don't have to live there. It is a fact of life, but you can overcome it. And I could spend a lot of time talking about these fears, but I'm going to try and cover a bunch of these different fears tonight and tomorrow morning. And then tomorrow night, I want to talk about how important your imagination is to taking the limits off of God. And this is something that not very many people have thought of. They don't understand how that you have an image on the inside that is like a governor that limits what you can do. Matter of fact, I mentioned this last night, but when the Lord first spoke to me 10 years ago, I called my staff together on February the 11th, 2002, and I told them about the experience and what God had said. And I said, I've got an image on the inside of me and what I can do and what I'm capable of and incapable of that is limiting God. And I said, I don't know how long it takes to change this image, whether it's a week, a month, a year, or whatever, but I said, I am going to change this image. I will see myself doing what God told me to do. And that has been a vital, important part of what God has done in my life. And you may not recognize it, but every one of you have an image on the inside of what you can do, what God can do through you, what you're capable of, and it operates like a limiter, like a governor on a car that, you know, you hit a certain speed and that governor cuts in and it just cuts off the power and you coast until you go back down to the right speed. You have an image on the inside that is a ceiling, a limit on what God can do in your life. And you've got to learn how to change that. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You see yourself a certain way and you've got to change that image. You cannot ever see anything happen on the outside that you haven't already seen happen on the inside. That's big. That is a huge statement right there. And there are some of you that are praying for something to happen that's big. Your marriage to be restored, your body to be healed, your finances to be prospered, you to pray for people, or you to be an influence, or you to make a difference. You're praying for this, but you can't see it. And it's frustrating. Really, you don't even have to pray for things. If you would sit there and meditate and let the Word of God paint a picture on the inside of you, as you think in your heart, and I'm going to show you that that's talking about your imagination, it just comes to pass. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Your life is today the way you have seen it being. And some of you don't like that at all. You get very upset and say, man, you're saying that it's my fault. Yep, that's what I'm saying. And many of you take great comfort in blaming other people. No, it's this that happened. This made me this way. And you don't understand. I don't have the education. You don't understand the color of my skin. You don't understand my background. And I was abused when I was a child. Or, well, you know, we've got a million and one reasons. But it's not any of these external things that's controlling your life. It's the way you think in your heart that is making your life go the direction that it's going. Don't shout me down for preaching good. So anyway, that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow night. It's really, really important. Let me just start talking about some of the fears and how fears limit what God can do in your life. And I don't know, I could talk about twice as many, three times as many fears, but you know, I've only got two messages. I'm trying to cram as much into this as I possibly can so that it'll benefit every person. So I can't claim that these are in any certain order or anything, but one fear that hinders people is a fear of change. You're afraid to change. People are resistant to change. If you don't think so, you ought to pastor a church. Ask somebody that's a pastor. I see a number of pastors out here, amen. I guarantee you, to get people to change is nearly impossible. People just, it's like they dig their heels in and they resist change. And it's strong in our culture. It's even stronger in some others. Like, for instance, over in the UK, Ashley and Carly are here. They lived in the UK until just 4 or 5 years ago. And they can tell you that tradition over there is big. I mean big. I've asked them before, why do you do this? Well, it's the way it's been done for 1,000 years. Amen. We don't have that same, we aren't as ground into tradition as some cultures, but it's still super strong. People resist change. They really do. They don't like it. And I could spend more time on this, but in a nutshell, one of the reasons people resist change, and grab hold of your seat on this. I'm saying this because I love you. But you know, it's because we're lazy. It takes effort to change. Now, again, I have that book entitled Effortless Change. And you can change effortlessly, but even there's effort in that. The effort is you have to get into the Word and renew your mind, and then as you think, that's the way you'll become. And people don't, they resist change because it just takes effort. They want to sit down on their couch and watch something and just be mesmerized. You know what the word mesmerized means? Mesmer was the name of a man. He was one of the pioneers in hypnosis. And so he would hypnotize people and they would come under his control, and they started using this word, you're mesmerized. You've been hypnotized. And that's what that word, that's the root of that word. And when we say that you're just mesmerized by something, it means you have just given yourself over and you're controlled by that. And this is pretty descriptive of the way a lot of people are with TV and stuff. They just turn it on and sit there and you forget everything else and you just come under the control of that. You know what that is? It's lazy. It's lazy. And I'm not trying to be critical on anybody. One of the reasons I resisted change in our ministry was because, you know what, Jamie and I have been in ministry now for 44 years. We've been through a lot of hard things. I'm not saying that to get you to pity me or anything. I'm just saying it's been tough. I was sitting around with a group of preachers one time talking about some things, and they had committed adultery on their wives. They had lied, they'd stolen, they'd gone to jail, they'd done all of these things. And then they got to talking about the hardships we'd been through. And I told them about some of our finances and how Jamie was 8 months pregnant and we hadn't eaten in 2 weeks and we were struggling. And those people looked at me and said, my God, what you did to Jamie is worse than I ever did to my wife. We've been through a lot of hardship. I think that's the only woman on the planet that would have stuck with me through what we've been through. Who's the guy that was the rest of the story? Paul Harvey's broadcast saying this is one of the worst things he had ever heard in his life. We've made international broadcast hardships and things that have happened to us. We've had a lot of rough times. And then we went on television, and when I started on television, the Lord spoke to me on July the 26th, 1999, in a dream. It's a long story, but he spoke to me and he says, you're just now starting your ministry. I'd been in ministry 31 years. And he says, you're just now starting your ministry. If something would have happened and you would have died, you would have missed what I called you to do. And that was discouraging and encouraging all at the same time, because we had seen some great things happen. And if I was just starting, that means it was going to be better. But man, 31 years and it was all schooling. You know what? You are going to go to school. You either go to something like Caris Bible College and learn through my hard knocks, or you go through the school of hard knocks yourself. You are going to go to school. But you can shorten the time, amen, if you would let some of these other people make an impact on your life. So anyway, he told me I was just starting my ministry. And when we started on television January the 3rd of 2000, I mean, it's like we just hit a place where things were working nearly effortlessly. Before that, it was a struggle. We were on the verge of disaster. It looked like we could die at any moment. And all of a sudden, things just begin to work. People begin to respond. There was an anointing that wasn't present before, and things begin to work. And so for 2 years, our ministry had doubled. And you know what? I was enjoying it. There was light at the end of the tunnel, and it wasn't a train. It was like we were going to make it. We're going to survive. We're actually seeing people's lives changed. It's working. And you know what? I was comfortable. And I was resistant to change because it was easy, relatively easy. And I didn't want to start stretching myself again. Let's just enjoy being where we are. Anybody relate to what I'm saying? Did you know you can get comfortable and you can get where instead of you stretching yourself, let's just take it easy. I see a lot of older people, you know, that they have this goal of they've worked hard, they've raised their family, they've done all of these things, and now they're going to retire, they're going to enjoy their grandkids, and they're just going to travel and have a good time. And there's nothing wrong with you enjoying the fruits of your labor. I'm not saying that, but you know what? I guarantee you, I've seen a lot of people, my mother, I've seen a lot of people that the moment you retire and start doing nothing, your health goes down. God did not make anybody to coast. You will last longer You will be happier. You'll be more productive. Everything in your life will work better if you still have a purpose. And you know, the most fruitful people that come into our Bible college are retired people, because they come in and they're just there thinking, well, I'm just going to learn the Word of God. I don't have the same pressures, the same demands that I've had. And they come, and man, their life gets changed. And we've got retired people all over the world that are going out and putting their life on the line, going to third world countries, facing sickness and disease in these cultures and the persecution and adapting to the hardships, and they're loving it. I guarantee you, God didn't make anybody to just sit and coast. Man, we're in a hostile environment. This is not our real home. You can rest all throughout eternity. You don't need to rust out. You need to wear out, burn out, serving God. But people are resistant to change because, you know what, they've kind of got their nest made and it's all comfortable, and they resist change. They limit God because it's nice. They're lazy. They're comfortable. You know what? That's not a good place to be. I've just given up on ever getting to a place where I coast. Right now, we are believing God for bigger things than I've ever believed for, and I already know. I don't know what they are, but the Lord's shown me that this is not the last step, that there'll be more. We'll go to a ministry someplace, a church, and they'll go to preaching on believing God, increase your vision. And Jamie will put her hand on my leg like, you're believing big enough. Just calm down, amen. Because I'm never going to quit dreaming. Until I go to be with the Lord, I'm going to be working on something. I even talked to this Satanist high priest on an airplane one time, and he was talking about how he didn't work. He got his food out of the dumpsters, and he was just, you know, this capitalistic society needs 10% unemployment to make it work. And he was, and I started talking to him about even Adam and Eve. God gave them a job to do, to dress and to keep the garden and to work. People who were living in paradise, he gave them a purpose, a goal, something to do. You need a purpose. My brother just retired involuntarily. He already is retired from being a teacher, and then he had a job with the Texas prison system going around, and he was controlling all of the vocational mechanics courses in the prisons in Texas. And anyway, they downsized, and so they laid him off. So he just retired involuntarily the second time, and for the last few months, he's about to climb the wall. Like, what am I going to do with my life? And you know, he's not totally receptive to everything I share, so I couldn't talk to him like the way I'm talking to you, but I was so thankful that, Father, I've got a purpose that is going to keep me going until I draw my last breath. There's never going to be an end to what I'm doing. I'm believing that, man, I'll leave preaching. I was with Oral Roberts just a couple of months before he died, and Oral Roberts was still preaching and meeting with people and talking to them and having people into his home and still taking the things that God put in his life and putting it in other people when he was 90-something years old. That's the way you need to go out. Amen?
Andrew's complete teaching titled, Don't Limit God Times 10, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Every album will also include the Don't Limit God sticker. This reversible static decal will cling to your window or mirror, reminding you not to limit God with small thinking. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third audio teaching in today's series is titled, Fear of Risk Limits God. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
It was January 31st, 2002. Andrew had been on television for just over 2 years, seeing modest growth in the ministry and in the student body at Caris Bible College. It was then he received a revelation that changed everything. He saw that he'd been limiting God by small thinking, and he determined to change his ways. Immediately, the ministry began to grow. Finances, staff, telephone, and the mail ministry multiplied. Soon, the little 13,000-square-foot building on Robinson Street in Colorado Springs was no longer sufficient to meet the needs. The TV studio had to be dismantled to make room for more students. Porta-johns were set up to handle the demand for facilities. Andrew began to take the limits off God. A 110,000-square-foot warehouse on Elkton Drive was purchased, requiring $3 million to finish. Andrew's ministry partners rallied.
Jamie and I want to thank you for being our partners. I tell you, God has done so many miracles in our life, and the best is yet to come, but we couldn't do any of this without you, our partners. I tell you, we've long since passed the place where we could finance this ministry.
18 months later, the building was completed and paid for through extra donations above the cost of operations. In 2004, the staff and student body entered their new home. Today, a short decade after his revelation about small thinking, the ministry and Caris Bible College are once again bursting at the seams. The parking lots are beyond capacity. Classrooms are once again overflowing. One solution is to limit enrollment. Limit the size of the ministry and outreach. Limit parking spaces. Limit the number of lives that will be changed by the truth of God's Word. Or we can follow Andrew in his determination to take the limits off God. 157 acres of prime property in Woodland Park have been purchased at pennies on the dollar. Architectural plans have been funded and completed for the new campus, accommodating up to 3,000 students, and a construction phase is ready to begin. Think of the graduating classes of the future, 1,000 members strong and more, who'll go out year after year to multiply the message of God's unconditional love and grace around the world. Join the foundation builders who have already given and invest yourself in Caris Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries today. Our telephone number is 719-635-1111. Our web address is www.awmi.net, and our mailing address is on your screen.